Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Hour number two. Phone number 800-222-5222 if you'd like to participate in the conversation. We are brought to you by Larry Miller and Sit & Sleep, of course. You'll beat anyone's advertised price or your mattress is free. We've got the Peter Tilden News Quiz coming up in a bit for a family four-pack of Knott's Merry Farm tickets. You can go on the rides, of course, but they got a Christmas craft village and they got snow in their ghost town, plus Body Worlds, the fantastic Pulse exhibit. So your choice. I'll start out with net neutrality. They voted on repealing net neutrality. I don't know all of the impact here, but it smells like this is not going to be good for us. Under George W. Bush, it started where they outlined a series of principles that would eventually lead to the net neutrality rules, which kicked in 2015. Because at the time they said users, and it was FCC chairman at the time, Michael Powell, who said users should enjoy four fundamental freedoms. And let's see these freedoms. The freedom to access any web content of their choice, so long as it was legal. The freedom to use any online application. The freedom to use their home broadband connections on any device. And the freedom to get subscription information from their own providers. So I got that. The problem now, the fear is that these companies are going to be able to slow down content that's not there. And in a lot of parts of the United States, there aren't that many companies to choose from, competing companies to choose from. So if you're not happy with your service, you may be taking it in the shorts because they're going to raise the prices. So it's concerning. And why the other thing about the net neutrality thing is, why were they rushing, right, Dino? What was the rush? Why didn't we get discussions about it? Why didn't we look at the pros and cons? Why didn't we study this more? They're racing this thing through. And the concern is that a telecommunications company could charge any additional fee to transport content at a higher speed through their network. So Broadband for America, for instance, a coalition of telecommunications industry groups and companies like AT&T and Charter and Comcast ran a full-page ad in the Washington Post that made commitments to customers to practice. They said they would preserve an open Internet. It includes no blocking of legal content, not throttling data speeds, and no unfair discrimination. But it didn't mention something called paid prioritization. They can charge. They can charge. Comcast net neutrality webpage had a commitment that the company wouldn't prioritize Internet traffic that disappeared the day this guy just unveiled the new plan. So if you start sniffing around at this net neutrality thing, boy, it sure looks like the Internet is going to look completely different and feel completely different in a short period of time. It's going to change the way you get your information. And it would be unfortunate. And then, of course, there's a money play here. People can start charging for stuff that they're not charging for now, and especially if there's a pass-along charge that they're involved in. So love to get your take on that. 800-222-5222 makes me feel uncomfortable. I kind of like the Internet the way it is now. I have a feeling I'm going to be buying bundling services and paying for sports somehow that I don't want. In the sexual harassment area, and I'd love to get your take on this. First off, a Kentucky lawmaker had what appears to be apparent suicide. Kentucky lawmaker looks like he killed himself after facing several allegations in reports by the investigative arm of the Louisville Public Media. One of the allegations was that he slept with his daughter's 17-year-old friend, and it was a rape. That was one of the allegations. He went after NPR and saying they're the ones pursuing him. That was actually wrong. It was public media owns a couple NPR stations, but NPR released a statement saying they didn't investigate the story or air it. But this guy, big time, Kentucky preacher turned politician, and there were a bunch of records that report, a police report based on police records and interviewed, including a woman who says that a drunk Johnson kissed her and fondled her at a church and more, and he ended up taking his life. And the Kentucky state representative, Jeff Hoover, who resigned as House Speaker last month after allegations of sexual harassment of his own, posted on Twitter, "In America, those accused of wrongdoing are presumed innocent until proven guilty," adding, "personal attacks don't have to be part of politics." So that's one. Tavis Smiley was removed from his show. According to Variety, he was accused of having sexual relationships with multiple subordinates, and some had expressed concern that their employment status was linked to the status of a sexual relationship with Smiley. And he's hitting back. He said, "I have the utmost respect for all women. I certainly celebrate the courage of those who've come forward of late to share their own truth. But let me assure you, I have never groped, inappropriately exposed myself, or coerced any colleague in the workplace ever in my 30-year career. He is blasting PBS, saying their so-called investigation was launched without telling me about it, and accused them of having their minds already made up before sitting down with him for 3 hours, and points to the Variety report that came out almost immediately after their session ended. He also accused them of refusing to look at his documents or talk to his current staff. So he is fighting back and saying, it's clear this has gone too far, and I, for one, intend to fight back. PBS overreacted and launched a sloppy investigation. It's time for a real conversation in this country about where the lines are, about men and women can engage with each other in the workplace, and I look forward to actively participating in that conversation. So that's his response. Jordan Sharitin, a former reporter with the Young Turks, is suing the Huffington Post for libel, defamation, and injury to reputation. And this stems from an article about him that said he was accused of sexual abuse and harassment. So that's another one. But the most interesting one to me comes from Morgan Spurlock. Remember the guy Supersize Me? He went Nate McDonald's for, I guess it was, you know, for a year, X amount of time, and saw how his system changed. He wrote that he built a career on finding the truth, and he's got a new, and this could be a publicity play, he's got a new movie coming out, a new documentary. So he wrote out a detailed account of his misconduct before anyone's accusing him of misconduct, stretching all the way back to his college days. It's a confessional blog post. He tweeted, I'm part of the problem. And he sold his documentary, Supersize Me 2, Holy Chicken, to YouTube Red for $3.5 million a couple months ago. He also has a forthcoming docuseries titled Culture Shock, which is going to be on A&E. And he said, as I sit around watching hero after hero, man after man, fall at the realization of their past indiscretions, I don't sit by and wonder who will be next. I wonder, when will they come for me? In the blog post, he chronicled his multiple infidelities, his verbal sexual abuse in the workplace, battle with depression, and decades-long struggle with alcohol abuse. I can't blindly act as though I didn't somehow play a part in this. Over my life, there have been many instances that parallel what we see every day in the news. And then what it did, he gave examples of his sexual misconduct. The first instance was when he was in college, when he had a one-night sexual encounter with a girl that he thought was consensual, but she later referred to that as rape. Pretty heavy duty. After a night of drinking, apparently the two went back to his room. They began fooling around, but she pushed him off. Still with their clothes on, they lied next to each other in bed for a while, laughing and joking. Before long, they were fooling around again, though this time they took off their clothes. The girl who Spurlock didn't name said she didn't want to have sex, but they eventually did anyway, and during intercourse, the girl began crying. The two stopped having sex, and Spurlock tried comforting her. I thought I was doing okay. I believed she was feeling better. She believed she was raped. That's why I'm part of the problem. He would often, by the way, another sexual harassment, a woman who claimed sexual harassment, was a former assistant who said he would often yell at her across the office using diminutive nicknames like Hot Pants and Sex Pants, which he thought were funny, but later realized they completely demeaned and belittled her to a place of non-existent. When his assistant quit, she told Spurlock that he had to pay her to remain silent about his consistent verbal sexual harassment. And he did. He said, I paid for peace of mind. I paid for her silence and cooperation. Most of all, I paid so I could remain who I was. Spurlock wrote that he's been unfaithful to every wife and girlfriend he's ever had, adding that his hatred of his behavior didn't make him stop. He wrote that he was sexually abused as a boy and as a young man in his teens. He only told his first wife that he was abused because he was scared he'd be seen as weak or less than a man. He also wrote that he suffered from depression and that he's used alcohol to cope with mental illness since he was 13 years old and that he hasn't been sober for more than a week in 30 years. So he said he's someone who consistently hurts those closest to him. I've helped create a world of disrespect through my own actions. He concluded by promising to do better, to be better. I'm going to be more honest with you and myself. So what kind of reaction do you think he got to that post? It was mixed reaction. Dino's shaking his head no. So in the cynical world today, you go, okay, he's just getting ahead of this because he knows there's going to be accusations. And he's managed to slip in depression, alcohol abuse, that he was abused as a child. He was abused in his teens. So he's kind of setting it up that I'm a victim, and I take responsibility for this. I always wonder what the I'm going to do better thing. I don't know what I'm going to do better means at the end. I'm going to do better. Better means I'm going to cut back my sexual harassment by 50%. I'm going to titrate it down. I'm going to only harass certain women between 3 and 5 p.m. What does do better mean? I'm going to donate the money from the next the burger movie to help women's rights groups. I don't know what that means. So as a cynic, you go, it's total getting out ahead of this whole thing. It's just protecting his butt and making sure he can answer any claims that come up. This is like a blanket preparatory statement so that if something pops up, hey, I've already confessed to this. I know I've done wrong. Or do you look at it and say, wow, that's pretty powerful. A guy's coming out saying, I get it. And looking back, because of all these events that are happening day after day after day, and I'm looking up the TV now, Russell Simmons accused of rape. I think it was three more women came out, and some of them accused him of rape after he denied sexual harassment the other day. And seeing that one more election, I'm sure a lot of the accusers had a huge effect on the turnout, and you saw the female turnout for that election. It was huge. Women came out en masse to say, no, we believe the accusers. So here's Morgan Spurlock coming out. I think he's the first one, right, Dino? I don't think anybody else has come out preemptively and said, I know what I've done, all the way back to all I did was beg. I mean, if you saw me with pimples and the big nose and pompadour, a lot of begging, and I apologize for that right now. But this guy is out there saying, I am part of the problem, and he's making a thing. My guess is, I'm smelling that Morgan Spurlock may also do a he's a documentarian, that he may actually dive into this and make some kind of, become the guy who is going to move the movement forward for women and for men and understanding where the line is and do create some kind of documentary, TV series, interviews, whatever. But it is odd. It is odd that you go back to your college days and then say, I've cheated on every wife, girlfriend that I've ever had. But I want to do better. So interesting. Again, one after the other. The Young Turks guy, by the way, is filing a lawsuit for $23.5 million in a defamation suit against the Huffington Post over their sexual assault story of him. So you're starting to see a little bit more pushback where guys are saying, nah, not so much. And Tavis Smiley is the biggest. Now, PBS said we engage an outside law firm to do the investigation. And after they gave the report is when they decided to relieve him of his job. And then you go to the nth degree, which is a Kentucky lawmaker who took his own life, probably because what he knew was coming. So what do you think about that? 800-222-5222. Morgan Spurlock, smart to get out in front of it? Do you believe him? Is there credibility as far as getting out in front of it? Or is he just protecting himself? And are we going to see more of a wave of this? Guys coming out front and saying, I know what I did. I'm part of the problem. Here it is. I'm going to do it preemptively so that if somebody accuses me, I also have deniability because I told you, hey, I released my announcement. You know what my problem was. I was abused as a child. I was abused as a teenager. I drink and I'm depressed. And I was a liar and I'm not going to be a liar anymore. Powerful. Believable. 800-222-5222. Before we take a break, Omarosa, you know, the reports that she was dragged out of the White House, was asked to leave, got into it with General Kelly. And she's saying that's not the case. Here's what she's saying.
I resigned, and I didn't do that in the residence as being reported. John Kelly and I sat down in the Situation Room, which is a very secure, very quiet room in the White House, and we had a very candid conversation. And I wanted to make the one-year mark that was one of the goals that I set out to, and then get back to my life.
So she's saying that it was kind of calm and kind of non-abrasive, although every report I'm reading today, not so much. She also said this.
I like to hear all of these interesting tales, but I have to tell you that they're 100% false. And one of the things that I'd ask of those people who are making those assertions, since they assert that I did it so publicly, mm-hmm. is where are the pictures or videos? If I had confronted John Kelly, who is a very formidable person, it would garner enough attention for anyone in the room to at least take a picture or a video or something. The assertion that I would do that in front of 600 guests at a Christmas party and no one has reported that except for one individual who has a personal vendetta against me. And so I have to tell you, completely false, unverified reporting. And John Kelly and I had a very straightforward discussion about concerns that I had, issues that I raised, and as a result, I resigned, and it will be taking place January the 20th when I leave this very interesting administration.
So you're saying that all these reports are coming from one person, but you
speak to... One person, no. Let's be clear. Only one person.
Only one person.
No one else has reported what she's reporting, and this is the one person who has attacked me for the last year. And so you know that this is personal.
And just so you know, that doesn't seem to be accurate, that it's just one person. I'll address that. She also had one more thing to say that's pretty important, because it may give the key... the underlying key to all of this, and it's just a bigger issue than just Omarosa. So I will play that last piece of audio from her in just a moment. And Roy Moore is refusing to concede today. He's still refusing to concede. We'll try and explain why in just a moment. But first, Talk Radio 790 KPC. Let's take a brief break, and we'll be right back.
Gee, if I could only have my two front teeth.
Talk Radio 790 KPC. Peter Tilden 10 continues. Hour number two. I would call right now if you want to do the news quiz and get a family four-pack of tickets to Knott's Merry Farm. You got the rides, of course. You got a Christmas Craft Village and a nightly snow in Ghost Town. Or the Body Worlds, the Pulse exhibit, the West Coast debut of the largest Body Worlds exhibition in a decade with new real human body specimens at the California Science Center. I got a family four-pack of tickets to that, too. So Omarosa, I didn't play the final clip for her, which is fascinating. And then I'll tell you some other insights into her firing and her job to begin with. So here you go.
There were a lot of things that I observed during the last year that I was very unhappy with, that I was very uncomfortable with, things that I observed, that I heard, that I listened to. I can expand upon it because I have to still go back and work with these individuals. But when I have a chance to tell my story, Michael, quite a story to tell, as the only African-American woman in this White House, as a senior staff and assistant to the president, I have seen things that have made me uncomfortable, that have upset me, that have affected me deeply and emotionally, that has affected my community and my people. And when I can tell my story, it is a profound story that I know the world will want to hear.
So can I ask you a question? If it's a profound story that's that important, why would she just not say what it is now? Because this is not the right time, or the book deal hasn't been totally signed? Omarosa, in my own words, it seems like everybody leaves an administration and they got a book coming. What's interesting in trying to sift through this thing is the two people who are close to the administration said that she neglected to find enough attendees for a Black History Month event in the administration, and that was just one of the things. And her office, which was used for building coalitions, became seen as what one person described as an island of misfit toys where people who could not be slotted into other roles were sent. So it wasn't a defined office. Also, she's accused of being abrasive and attention-seeking. Two other reports of her not going quietly into the night. But as she just said there, there are only two people in high-ranking positions in this administration of color. You got Ben Carson and you got her. Now she is out. So, and she supposedly was earning almost over $180,000. The brouhaha appears to be something about, it started with Charlottesville. She did not agree with the president on his comments about the white nationalists and white supremacists, and it continued into the Roy Moore election, and it really bothered her as a woman that Trump took a different stance on that, and it was that race really bothered her. So that may have been where the blow-up happened, but she was supposed to be a polarizing figure in the White House who interrupted meetings and subverted chains of command, and that Kelly finally said, it's enough, no mas. She was also criticized for promising that Trump would provide additional funding to historically Black colleges and universities, and that never materialized. So she has a lot of enemies, obviously, in the White House, surrounding the White House. The president's comment was kind of curt in that we wish her the best in her future. Sorry, see you later, bye, and don't let the door hit you in the butt. I'm guessing there will be a book coming out and a tour, because usually that's what you do when you leave a job like this, especially if you tease it on that interview like she just did, that she's got some very important things to say, and they will come out in the future. Again, if they were that important to benefit us and the society as a whole, why would you wait? Because I guess Penguin or whoever hasn't signed your deal yet. All right, the lines are lighting up for the news quiz. We'll do that right after the news here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
KABC News is live and local at 11:30, and I'm Jeff Whittle. Well, the Federal Communications Commission voted today to repeal the Obama-era Internet neutrality rules. That 3-2 vote was along party lines. Under the old rules, Internet service providers were required to treat all online content the same. Now they can deliberately speed up or slow down traffic from specific websites or apps and put their own content at an advantage over that of their rivals. Now, a gold line train collided with the car in Pasadena near the train station at Del Mar Boulevard and Arroyo Parkway this morning, but the motorist only suffered minor injuries. Metro officials are reporting 10-minute delays this morning on the gold line. An anesthesiologist is scheduled to be arraigned today on a murder charge for the death of a 71-year-old plastic surgery patient in Beverly Hills in September. Stephen Kim allegedly administered medicine to sedate the patient, who's a doctor, Mark Greenspan, before the surgery. In the DA's office, Kim then injected himself with drugs during the procedure, then allegedly gave Dr. Greenspan a lethal dose of Demerol while he was in the recovery room. Kim faces 25 years to life in prison if convicted. Hillside residents are worried about the fire danger from homeless encampments and short-term renters.
Nikki Miner is vice president of the Bel Air Beverly Crest Neighborhood Council.
It's more than just a council problem. It's LAFD, it's LAPD, it's Caltrans, it's Santa Monica Mountains Conservancy and others. It's not a rich versus poor situation. It's a transient situation. Or if it's a weekend renter who might put up tiki torches or smoke from balconies. So our council person has put forth this motion to galvanize the agencies. And my thinking that if this doesn't work, it'll create a new agency, the Hobo Patrol.
Miner was a guest on McIntyre in the Morning. I'm Leanne Tweeden, KBC News.
Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. Clippers knocked off the Orlando Magic 106-95 in Florida for LA's third straight victory. Now the Lakers visit the Cleveland Cavaliers coming up this afternoon. Ducks skate in St. Louis this afternoon. Our first place LA Kings, winners of 8 of 9, visit the New York Rangers tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. right here on KABC. Indianapolis is home against Denver on Thursday Night Football. That's sports on the home of the LA Kings, 790 KABC. Traffic, a market check, weather, and more Tilden at 10 next. KABC News Time, 1133.
Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues right now, item number 2, with our news quiz. And let's go to the lines and figure out who we're going to take. How about Courtney in Long Beach? Good morning, Courtney. You're on Talk Radio 790 KABC. How are you? Courtney, I can hear the music loud. I can't hear Courtney.
I can hear you.
There you go. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Peter. How are you?
All right. Are you stuck in traffic? Are you moving or are you just crawling?
Oh, I'm moving. I'm on the 405 heading towards John Wayne, and I'm moving.
All right, cool. What do you do for a living?
I'm an account analyst for a grant company. We manage training grants.
Okay, so if somebody gets a grant, you have to figure out the numbers, yes?
Yes, and we have to help manage it as well.
Okay, cool. Is that a good business?
It is fantastic. I've been working there for 6 years, and I love it.
Okay, I'm trying to find a business that I can force my kids to go into that will be meaningful, so thanks. I'm writing that one down. So you know how this works? Multiple choice, true or false. You listen to me carefully, and here we go. Russian President Vladimir Putin has blamed who for poor U.S.-Russia relations? Was it A, Robert Mueller, B, decades of bad spy movies, or C, Trump's opponents? Is it A, B, or C? Russian President Vladimir Putin on Thursday said that he doubted President Trump would be able to improve relations between their two countries because Trump was being held back by his political opposition. Of course, it had nothing to do with the fact that they were messing with our election. It's just that. Who is the latest media personality to be suspended in the aftermath of sexual misconduct allegations? Was it A, Oscar the Grouch, B, Tavis Smiley, or C, the ghost of John Lennon? Was it A, B, or C?
B as in boy.
PBS will no longer distribute Tavis's show following what a spokesperson called multiple credible allegations of sexual misconduct uncovered by a recent investigation. In a statement, PBS Vice President for Corporate Communications Jennifer Byrne said the company had engaged an outside law firm to investigate troubling allegations regarding Mr. Smiley. If you heard my report earlier, he's pushing back and saying they did a slipshod investigation, and he's going to push back in a big way. Let's see here. Disney plans to purchase who for $60-plus billion? Would it be 21st Century Fox? Would it be a new aircraft carrier called the USS Mickey Mouse? Or C, free toilet paper for the entire planet? Which would be nice. Was it A, B, or C? A, B, or C?
I think it's A as an apple.
They are going to buy Fox, or at least they said everything that Fox owns that doesn't currently have a sexual harassment claim against it. So they're checking that list. A group of conflict armament researchers found weapons purchased by who in the hands of ISIS fighters? A, the Russian military, B, the U.S. military, or C, Iran? Is it A, B, or C?
B as in boy.
That's correct. Some weapons bought by the U.S. military in 2015 ended up in the hands of Islamic State fighters within 2 months, according to a report released Thursday. The findings by Conflict Armament Research, an independent arms tracking organization, are based on 3 years of meticulous documentation of weapons recovered from ISIS on the battlefields of Iraq and Syria. Delta Airlines has agreed to purchase $25 billion worth of what? A, cans of Coke and half-ounce packages of peanuts? B, ever smaller airplane seats? Or C, Airbus jets? Is it A, B, or C?
Keys and cat.
Yeah, they announced a firm order for 100 Airbus 321neo airliners on Thursday with a list value of $12.7 billion, and it's a new engine option. And I wonder if they are going to squeeze us into the seats. If they can't take much more room away from me. I'm 6'2". I can't fit already. At 512 years old, scientists think they have found the oldest living A, pet hamster, B, vertebrate, or C, mollusk colony. Is it A, B, or C?
B.
Yeah, they found an ancient shark in the North Atlantic believed to be 512 years old, which would be the oldest living vertebrae in the world. While the animal was discovered months ago, its potential age was revealed in a study in the journal Science. According to research by the University of Michigan, the number of teens abusing drugs is the lowest it has been since A, Nancy Reagan coined the phrase, just say no, B, the 1990s, or C, the release of the movie Dazed and Confused. Is it A, B, or C?
B.
It is B. The number of teens abusing drugs is lower than it's been since the 90s, according to a national survey. In particular, we see a tremendous decline in the portion of young people using cigarettes. Dr. Lloyd Johnson, a study researcher at the University of Michigan, said at a press conference, there are a couple of key exceptions. One is marijuana. It hasn't come up like in older populations, but it hasn't gone down, and it remains worrisome. Another concern is we see very high and very fast uptake of electronic vaping devices. And then the final story, a noted surgeon from the UK has confessed to doing what? A, eating the amputated limbs of his patients, B, performing hundreds of operations without washing his hands, or C, burning his initials into two patients' livers. Is it A, B, or C?
C.
C. And it's weird, and I don't know why he did it. He pleaded not guilty to assault. Occasionally, wow. Actual bodily harm. Yeah, exactly, right? I would think maybe you do it to identify who did the surgery, but you did very, very well. And stay driving very safely. I'll put you on the line with Dino, and he'll get tickets to either Knott's Merry Farm or the Body World's Pulse exhibit. And thanks for listening. Thanks for playing. And have a wonderful holiday on us. You take care. Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilden at 10, continues. Dennis Rodman speaks about his relationship with Kim Jong-un, and it's fascinating. I'll let him tell you about his own words next year on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilden at 10, continues. Hour number two. Hey, listen to McIntyre in the Morning and Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood all week to win tickets to the glamorous Masquerade Ball on New Year's Eve at the Shade Hotel, Manhattan Beach. We're also setting up a couple of winners with hotel accommodations for the night. The evening will have a live DJ, gaming tables, hors d'oeuvres, McLean Restaurant Zinc at Shade, and finally a champagne toast at midnight. So that would be a nice way to celebrate the holiday. I'm seeing breaking news here. Marco Rubio says he's a no on the tax bill unless he gets a child tax credit. There's a bit of pushback between the Senate and the House as far as what's going to be in the bill, and people are starting to scrutinize who wins, who loses. We'll give you more of a sense of that tomorrow when we've had a chance to break it down. Maybe we'll get an expert on to help us see exactly where we stand and what we can expect, because what I don't want to happen is that the middle class gets a tax break, but then it's made up with other cuts to health care, et cetera, and you get $400 back as a tax break, but your health care costs you more, you can't take deductions for real estate, et cetera. So I want to kind of work through that so we know. The other thing is, because they're rushing to pass it so quick, I saw a couple stories today about the fact that businesses, the IRS, they're not going to be ready to accommodate this quickly. It's going to hit like a storm, and all of a sudden everybody's going to have to figure out, businesses, payroll taxes are going to have to figure out how to accommodate the new rules right away, because they're going to try and sign it by Christmas, get it to the president's desk by Christmas and have it signed. So that's an interesting twist to this whole race to get it done. The other thing is that we've got North Korea hanging over our heads. That's the biggest threat to us today. Rex Tillerson said that he's open to negotiations. They said the White House is on board with that, even though the president had said in the past that diplomacy is a waste of time. Well, Dennis Rodman's been there 5 times with Kim Jong-un. I mean, he's held his baby. They've done shots together. Who knows what else they've done together? He was on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert last night, and he was talking about this because he said, I just want a chance to go over there and present to Kim Jong-un and maybe move this peace process forward. Dennis Rodman. Here's what he said. Here's what it sounded like last night talking about Kim Jong-un.
You know, I don't really judge people, you know, by the color. I don't judge where they come from and stuff like that. I just judge people where, you know, we all human beings. You know, throughout the day, we all human beings.
Right.
And it's funny, though, that I don't see how people can sit there and say, this person's a madman. He probably is. But I didn't see that. But he probably is. I'm just saying, he probably is.
Reports are he murdered his uncle and fed him to dogs.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Well, if you see the video in the basketball game, and you actually see his uncle standing right behind the bench.
Okay. So his uncle's fine?
Uncle's fine.
Okay. Maybe he has more than one uncle.
Well, pretty much.
Maybe that's the spare uncle right there.
Well, either way.
Dennis obviously has a relationship with the guy because the guy sucks up to him because he likes Dennis in basketball. Dennis maybe is not aware because when you go over there, I'm sure Kim Jong-un doesn't show him the camps where he's holding people. I'm sure he is not seeing the graves where people have been murdered who disagree or pose a threat to the regime. But he knows this. I love that he said he's not, I don't know why you call him a madman, but he probably is a madman. So in one sentence, he contradicted himself. Maybe, I'm just thinking, Steve, what do you think? Maybe Dennis Rodman shouldn't be designated our guy to do diplomacy over there. Maybe we, or if they do, man, this could happen. We could be an all apprentice White House real soon. So I know that he's trying to do the right thing, but I don't think he has the aptitude or the intellect to do diplomacy on our part. As a matter of fact, he could say the very wrong thing, but he does have a direct line to Kim Jong-un. I wonder if the president tells Robin something, if he can actually dial the cell phone over there and get it through, if he's got like a personal line right to Kim Jong-un, where he can get a message directly to him, unfettered and unencumbered. And who knows, maybe that could move us closer to North Korea and diplomacy. Wouldn't that be an insane thing that the Nobel Peace Prize next year goes to? Dennis Rodman. Talk Radio 790 KBC.